Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
This is Transfer Talk, where we speak to Taryn Harris, partner and co-founder of Harris Marcus Makhlangu Attorneys. And I can tell you, I know that you have learned a fortune. I have learned a fortune. And it really is just one of those subjects and one of those conversations that we leave a lot more informed than when we entered the conversation. Today, we want to talk about the transfer process, because I think we take so much of this either for granted or we make assumptions that might not be the case. Taryn Harris, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Howard. Hope you're well. Having a better morning than yesterday.
I know. I was about to send Helen Zilla a message to say, sorry, I was so ranty this morning, but... Anyway, let's talk about the transfer process. Do you find that people actually understand the steps, or is this something that people are still quite confused about?
So we get two kinds of clients. We get those who know it so well that are constantly sending us emails asking when we're applying for rates, and don't forget that the municipality is closing. And then we get those who really need to be handheld every step of the way, that have forgot the steps or aren't sure of them, or even if they know them, they need reassurance. So we have quite a broad spectrum of clients.
So, okay, let's go through what these processes are.
Okay, so when you anticipate selling, as I've mentioned previously, the moment you do, if you have a bond over the property, as mentioned, mm-hmm. you need to notify your bank that you intend on selling, because soon as you sell your property and that transfers, remember, you have a penalty period with your bank for generally 3 months. Mm-hmm. So you have to give notice to your bank. So as soon as you anticipate selling, even if it takes longer than 3 months, you need to advise them. So that's the first thing. Then you need to think of which agent you're going to use, or are you going to sell privately, which is quite a big decision. Once you decide to put your property on the market and you get prospective buyers, then you enter the negotiation stage.
Right.
So I always like to help at that stage, either a buyer or a seller, because generally you can get more than you think you can if you know the right questions to ask, or you know what you're anticipating. Your agent is generally a good guide, but they know a lot about property, where we know a lot about the legal side.
And I would imagine you also circumvent a lot of issues that you might have if you do this correctly from the get-go.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of the issues and the problems that I have dealt with on the previous shows about problems in the property you know, disclosures, or perhaps to bring down tax, you're paying more in transfer duty. There's a lot of ways to structure your deal that can assist a buyer or a seller.
I know it's a bit controversial, because a lot of your clients are going to be the estate agents. But do you think, as a rule, estate agents are telling their clients, listen, we're about to go into it, do you maybe want to make sure that you talk to an attorney, talk at this stage? Or are they taking it on themselves to advise at this point?
So I think it depends the estate agent. Mm. A lot of estate agents really do appreciate the advice and the assistance and helping them draft the clauses, because it takes the pressure off them when they have someone else in their corner to assist. Some agents have been doing it for so long that they have their systems and they know it so well that they like to take control. So it really, I think, depends on the experience and the agent.
Okay. So then moving on to –
so now you've sold your property.
Okay. Mazel tov. Very nice. Very nice. You got your price even.
And now you're excited, but now there's other stresses. So now you have to think about – and it's the biggest questions that people ask. Mm. How long is this process going to take? How long do I have to pack up my house? When am I going to get the keys? And that creates, obviously, a lot of anxiety for both a buyer who, you know, they've got kids and maybe need to move schools, or they're changing, or you've got a seller who, you know, they're immigrating, or they're moving to Cape Town, or they're moving across town and they need to plan their lives. How long does this take? It's the common question when you sign.
Right.
So obviously that depends on a lot of things. It depends on, is there a suspensive condition that it's subject to the buyer selling their property? Is it subject to a bond? How long has the agreement given to get bond approval? And how long is the agreement given to get guarantees? Are you dealing with an estate late? So there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, we spoke about that last week, and that's a real, that can be a real delay depending on how that estate was set up.
Correct. So what I also find quite tricky is sometimes agents tell their clients it's around 12 to 14 weeks as a standard.
Okay.
And then the clients budget on 12 to 14 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But we can sometimes get deals through in 6 weeks, you know, even if there are bonds. So it really depends on all the parties. If all the parties are willing and eager and they want to move ahead, we can move quite quickly.
Right.
So I would say generally from the time you sell to the time it registers, you're generally looking anywhere between 7 to 11 weeks. That's
right.
Pretty much a standard.
Right.
So,
but I'm going to give you a shameless plug, but if you have the right people on your team, then you stand a better chance of doing this quicker.
Yes. So I'm going to give you an example that I had this morning. Okay. Just before I was on air, I was actually calling an estate agent just to fill them in that we received a copy of a deed where the seller said they had the original, and I looked at the deed and it was a half share. So what had happened was she had bought the property with her and her late husband.
Right.
In one deed, married out of commune of property. He passed away.
Right.
And then his half share was transferred to her in another deed.
Okay.
So she holds the property in terms of two deeds.
Right, got it.
One, her original half share that she bought with him, and one when she inherited one.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had the original title deed. I said, great. When I looked at the deed, I realized it was a half share and she'd only sent me one. So I went back to her last night and I said, you know, we've got your half share. Do you have your other original deed when you purchased in 2011? So I went through and explained. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm not sure. Let me check with the executors. You know, they might have had it when we did the last transfer. And I got an email this morning saying they don't have it. So now, because I've caught it early enough, we're only 2 weeks in.
Yes.
I can anticipate advertising in a newspaper. I can anticipate if it needs to lay open for inspection at the
deeds office. But had they not contacted you, nobody would have known that this is a problem until a later point where you...
Well,
you
if I didn't pick it up yesterday,
right, exactly.
I would have picked it up when we were maybe prepping or
right,
something else,
right,
and it would have delayed the transaction
yes.
by 3 weeks or so.
Right.
So again, when you say, you know, excuse the shameless plug, but it is important that you do have conveyancers that look at these things and look at the detail, because all of these things can create delays. So timing is quite important, but you need people to know what to anticipate.
Yes, because otherwise it becomes pointless. What is happening in terms of the deeds office lodging? Because we hear all sorts of things.
Okay, so I'm just going to take you back a step. So now
sure.
we've signed.
Okay.
The buyers are applying for their bond. It's really good to go with a bond originator,
wow.
even if you have a great relationship with your bank, because they will get the banks to fight for your business. So you can get better rates if they compete.
That's good advice.
So even if you've been with, let's say, F&B or Standard Bank for 20 years, go get a bond originator, because let's say you get a better bank rate with F&B. You can take that rate and go to Standard Bank and say, listen, you've had my business for 20 years. Why is F&B giving me
a
better
rate?
Can
Brilliant.
You match it?
Mm.
Can you better it? So it's always great to use a bond originator. They know what they're doing. They're quick. So once you've got that and the purchaser has bond approval, the process really gets going now. Deposits have been paid, assuming there's deposits. Bonds have now been granted. The attorneys behind the scenes, when it's been granted, are applying for rates figures. They're getting all the FICA done. They're making the transfer duty applications, and they're dealing with all the issues that happens that the clients don't see. So now everything's been signed. We've got the guarantees. The buyers have to sign with the bond attorneys before the guarantees can be issued. So that's what happens.
Mm.
The bond gets approved. The banks nominates attorneys. Those bond attorneys will contact us saying, we understand you're attending to the transfer. Can we have your guarantee requirements? We give it to them. They arrange to sign with the purchasers. Then guarantees can be issued. On the other side, if the seller has a bond to be canceled,
mm-hmm.
they give us the loan account number, and we can instruct bond attorneys to cancel the bond. So now you've got bond cancellation attorneys, you've got bond attorneys, and you've got transfer attorneys. The transfer attorneys manage the whole process. When everybody's ready to lodge, it all has to happen together. It goes into the deeds office in one batch. So the bond has to be registered at the same time that the other bond, the existing bond, is cancelled.
It's all got to happen simultaneously.
Correct. Mm. So the bond is cancelled, the transfer is registered into the new buyer's name, and the bond is registered in favor of the bank for the existing, for the new purchaser. So that all happens together. If there's an error in any of the documents on any side, the whole batch is rejected, comes out, has to be fixed and relodged. So the timing of process once it's in the deeds office, once you've lodged, is generally around 5 to 8 working days.
It's quite quick, actually.
It's quite quick from the time you lodge. It goes through different examiners, 2 or 3 examiners. We used to be able to track it in the deeds office and see what examiner it's on, but they've got rid of all third parties now being able to track that. So once it's in, it's generally between that time. Sometimes it's 5 days. So what happens is then it comes up on what's called prep powered.
Right.
And that means it's got through all the examiners. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy. And at prep, we check our finances, make sure everything's in order. The bond attorneys and bond cancellation attorneys will go back to the respective banks and say, do we have permission from you to register? Once everyone has permission to register on prep stage, we all go back to our correspondents in the deeds office and we say, please put forward. The next day after prep, they put forward. Everyone must put forward together. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, it registers. So there's times in the dean's office for when you have to give notification. And if one of the attorneys misses that, we then miss a day.
You miss a day. It goes to the next day. Yeah. Just an interesting message from Carol, and I think it talks to something you've spoken about. She says, we're selling a house. It is in a trust. And SARS says there's no tax number. But it was registered with SARS. The trust is now dormant. Do we have a big problem?
No, if there was a trust, if there was a tax number at some stage, go speak to your accountant and they they can get it. Yeah, it's not a big problem.
Okay. So and then transfer effectively is done.
Correct. Now, when it's in prep, when it's in that prep stage, you only have a limited amount of days. You have to register within so many days of prep, and if it doesn't, it gets kicked out and you have to relodge. So now it's registered, what happens? So you have to give notification, the keys have to be handed over. If the owner remains in the property after registration, they're liable for occupational rent because now they don't own the property.
Because they're living in somebody else's property.
Correct. If the buyer took occupation prior to registration, from the date of registration, they don't pay occupational rent because they now own the property. You can't pay rent on something you own.
Right.
So essentially, now everything gets handed over, the keys happen, and now obviously, generally, the buyers move in and they start to notice all the things that they didn't see when they first took 1 or 2 looks through the property.
Right.
And that's when you have aftercare. Now, I just want to discuss rates quickly.
Yes, I was going to ask you about rates because how does that work?
So what happens is we give a registration letter to both the buyer and the seller. We give the rates figures that we paid on as well as the proof of payment that we paid the rates for the seller.
Right.
And we give a letter for the respective municipality. The client can then go to a municipality office. There's quite a few around. I know there's one in Daisy Street. They can go to Jorison. And they can apply to close their account and get a refund or open their account. Both have to happen. So it normally takes a couple of weeks for them to be able to do this because it actually has to reflect from the deeds office into the rates system.
Right.
And then you can do this. We do have a number of rates agents who are superb who will make this happen for them. People often ask, how long does it take to get my deposit back? How long does it take to get my balance of my rates? Because you pay 4 to 5 months in advance for rates. How long does it take to get that money back, that prorated amount?
Mm-hmm.
Howard, it differs, but I'm seeing rates refunds normally in about 2 to 3 months. So it's quite quick. It's much quicker than people have said it's taking years.
It's so interesting because in a way, there's sometimes maybe we give our institutions a worse rap than they deserve.
I must say the deeds office is excellent. And as I said, I use particular rates agents. You're welcome to do it yourself, but I find they know the system, so you get it faster.
Yeah, why learn it? Why relearn the system?
So it depends. You know, that you've got retired people who, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 rand or whatever they charge to
is going to make a difference.
It's going to make a difference, and they've got the time to do it. But if you are working in person and you can't take the time off work, it's worth every cent to use one of these rates agents to actually get your refund.
Before we wrap up, what do you find is the most misunderstood aspect of people selling and transferring a property?
A lot of people think conveyancers literally plug things into a computer and it generates admin and we just sign it off. And they don't think the fees are justified for the work that gets done. So I don't think a lot of people understand how much happens behind the scenes, because a conveyancer's job is to make it seamless for their clients. Give feedback reports, make sure once a week, make sure everybody's kept up to date. So if you're doing it properly, it seems seamless and easy, but there's so much happening behind the scenes. So a lot of time the work that goes into it doesn't seem justified for the fee that's being paid, but that's because you're not dealing with the problems. So I think sometimes that's quite tricky, and also just managing clients' expectations.
Yeah,
buyers and sellers have different expectations sometimes, so it's just managing, and agents managing everybody.
Everybody, yes, I think that's also part of it. It's just having somebody on your team that actually understands the dynamics, understands whose job is what, and can demand it. Because I think often it's like that situation where you're renovating and your builder says, no, it's the plumber's fault, and the plumber says, no, it's the electrician, and you actually don't know. Here you've got, it's really the same thing. There's a lot of different players, and having somebody on your team managing it for you is probably going to save you a lot of time, money, and frustration.
And there's a lot of outside factors. You've got three different sets of attorneys, four if there's an estate late, someone managing the estate. You've got SARS, you've got City of Johannesburg, you've got the agent, you've got the buyer and the seller. So there's you've got electricians and solar and gas
compliance. Exactly, there are so many aspects,
which
is why you want the right team on board. Taryn Harris, partner, co-founder of Harris Marcus Makhlangu Attorneys, thank you as always.
My pleasure. Thanks, Howard.